Thankful the Lord's more than enough. Might other people have some testimonies? Anybody else? Testimony? All right, turn to the book of 1 Samuel, if you would. I know that was really hard for Sarah to sing that song. She didn't write that song, but she wrote the last verse of it. Yeah. She wanted to sing to the kids. I know that wasn't easy. God's been so good to us. He's been gracious and thankful for a family to serve the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to be looking in a passage of Scripture that's very familiar, especially on Mother's Day. And if you've been saved any length of time and been in church, you've heard numerous Mother's Day messages out of here. And probably what I'm preaching this morning is no different than what you've heard before, but a good reminder. And we have an example of a mother here. And again, you've probably heard messages on along these lines, and I imagine all over the world, this Mother's Day, Hannah will be used as an example. There's a lot of examples in the Bible, but I want to look at the example of Hannah this morning as a mother, and for just a few minutes this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is where we want to go. All right, 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Look with me there, verse number 1. We're going to read through a few verses and then get started. The Bible said in verse 1, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerom, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Ziph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And we'll begin to look more at this chapter here in just a minute, but we find here a grieving woman here who is without child, and she prayed that God would give her a son. But before I get into that, I'm thankful today for my wife and for my mother. Amen. God's blessed me tremendously, and I'm so thankful for it. And I always say I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mother. And that's a true statement, regardless of how you want to take it. Amen. I wouldn't be here without my mother. And people can't figure that out today, society, but wouldn't be here without her. Abraham Lincoln once said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother. Man, isn't that true? I wish people would understand that. No man is poor who has a godly mother. Nothing is really lost until mom can't find it. Isn't that a true statement? Amen. I know the moms can amen on that one there. If it was a snake, it would have bit you. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on magnets, on a magnet, and what it does. The next day, in a written test, she included this question. My full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. I see mom shaking their head like, yes, I am the magnet of the home. A teacher asked the little boy, Johnny, tell me frankly, do you say your prayers before you eat? Johnny replied, I don't have to. My mom's a good cook. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, I got some sad news for you today, church. The idea of a mother is under attack right now. I'm going to read you an article that Brother Jim just sent me this week. This just happened this past week, all right? Democrats and the CDC are canceling the term mother and replacing it with birthing people. Could you imagine me get up at church saying, Happy Birthing People Month or Day? Missouri Democrat Representative Cori Bush repeated the progressive waterboarding of language and culture on Thursday when she referred to women as birthing people. During a hearing about the health of black children, which a Democrat oversight committee calls a crisis, the term birthing people came so naturally to Bush that she didn't understand what all the fuss was all about. She's not the only one doing it. The thought leaders of the left and policymakers at the highest levels of government are erasing women and girl from the vocabulary. The CDC now refers to, in its literature, to people who are pregnant and people who are breastfeeding rather than women or females or mothers. Isn't that sad? I mean, this might be the last Mother's Day that the nation recognizes. You understand that? Like, this could be the last one this year as a national holiday, because now it's just birthing people. It's crazy times that we're living in. We live in a crazy, crazy time. We live in an age where activists scream Black Lives Matter and then kill black babies every day. You realize that the death of just black babies alone is more than all of the Holocaust of the Jews. Amen? But they want to yell, Black Lives Matter. Amen? All lives matter. Baby lives matter. We live in an age where activists scream, listen to science. And then they turn around and tell us there's over 100 genders that a man can become a woman or he can become whatever he wants to be. But they say, listen to science. Amen? We live in a messed up time. Attorneys and feminists on the left are trying to position our society, and they're trying to de-gender pregnancy so they can reduce the frequency of workplace discrimination. Does any of this make sense to you at all? But this is what's happening. The gestation of a child, the morning sickness, the physical demands of advanced pregnancy, the labor of giving birth, postpartum, up and down experiences, nursing a baby have been... all these things have been made being a woman inconvenient in the field of employment. It's sad what's happening. Listen to this statement that was in this article. If everyone is a people, then pregnancy is something that might happen to any of them. I'm sorry. I'm in the workplace, and I cannot accidentally get pregnant or anything, period. It ain't going to happen. Amen? God made a man and a woman, and from the very beginning, He established a father and a mother. Matter of fact, honoring your father and mother is the first commandment with promise. Not honoring random people. Amen? We're in trouble. I praise the Lord this morning for good mothers. And we have some good mothers in our church. And you say, I maybe was not raised by my mother. There's some people that were raised by grandparents or raised by somebody else, but somebody took that place of a mother in your life for you to be here today. Somebody, somewhere down the line. And I'm thankful for verses like Psalms 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He will be all things, whatever He needs to be for you, that's exactly what He can be. And we find here in 1 Samuel a picture, an example of a great mother. Not a perfect mother, but she was a good mother. I imagine that, like I said earlier, she'll be used in churches all over this morning. Hannah exemplified some things here. I have seven things, as a matter of fact, that I want to look at. The word Hannah means grace. Aren't you thankful for God's grace this morning? It means grace. God's grace will always be sufficient. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm thankful that God's grace is sufficient. We have mothers that are in here this morning that have experienced some hard times. Amen. And God's grace was sufficient. There's some that have recently lost babies and some recently had babies. And God's grace is sufficient for all of it. And God knows exactly what He's doing. I'm not going to preach on this thought this morning, but before we get into the example of Hannah here, in verse number 8, we find that her husband comes to her and asks why she's weeping. He knows that her heart is breaking, that she doesn't have a child, and she knows that she's upset. But he makes this statement. He says, Am I not enough? Look what he says there. And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? And you know, it wasn't until Hannah was thankful and grateful for what God had given her that she was able to receive a child from the Lord. She had to realize that what God gave her was sufficient. Now, she still wanted a child, and she still prayed for one, but the Bible said she hadn't eaten anything, she fasted, and then her husband told her that, and the Bible said she went to eating. You know what that means? She realized, God, thank you for the husband that you gave me. Thank you for the things that you did give me. And she was grateful for that, and then after that, God answered her prayer. So God's grace is sufficient this morning. All right, I want to look at seven things quickly that Hannah exemplified in her life that I believe are some things that mothers and parents should exemplify in their home. All right, number one, the first thing we see here is prayer. Hannah is known for this prayer that she prayed to the Lord. In verse number 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And the Bible said, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. The first thing we find here about this mother that made her a good exemplary mother was the fact that she prayed. Man, you cannot replace the prayers of a mother. They know how to pray for children when it seems like nobody else knows how to pray for them. Man, there's things that a baby that can't talk, and sometimes as a parent, that's one of the hardest things to go through. When you got a child that can't talk, and they're upset, and they can't tell you what's wrong. I know you've been there before. I've been there with all three of my children. They're sick, or they're throwing up, or something's going on. And man, you just can't, you don't know what to do for them. But there is one thing you can do for them. You can go to God. Amen. You can go to God for them. And sometimes a mother will hear a baby cry and she knows exactly what's wrong with that baby and she knows how to pray for that baby. And we find here a mother that prayed to God. And man, I tell you, that's what we need today is some mothers that'll pray. And you don't ever need to stop. You need to pray for them before they're ever born, and you don't ever stop praying for them. Man, there's a lot of people today that are still living because of the prayers of their mothers. She was in conflict here. The Bible said that Eli thought she was drunk because she was praying in her heart, but her mouth was moving. Hey, man, I've got that problem sometimes. I'll think something and my mouth is moving. And I'll say something, and then I'll repeat it by just, I don't know, I don't even know I'm doing it, amen? And she was doing that there, and Eli thought she was drunk and was getting on to her, but all she was trying to do was get a hold of God. Amen. Mothers, your children need to hear and see you praying. I mean, you might just be praying in your heart, but they need to see you praying. You need to teach them to pray. You need to teach them that God is all sufficient and that He can help with whatever they're going through. Hannah was exemplary because she had a prayer life. She desired conception. She desired to have a child. And what a great responsibility. And she knew it was. She had a sister wife or whatever. I don't know what this woman was with the polygamy here. But she had this other woman that had her children. And she desired to have children herself. And she knew that she wanted a man from the Lord. And she knew where to get it. And that was from God. Man, I can't tell you how many times mothers today, if they run across the problem, they'll Google the answer before they ever ask God. Amen. Amen. And Google's got an answer for everything. I mean, you probably could deliver a baby watching YouTube. I wouldn't suggest it. But you can rebuild an engine. You can do all kinds of things watching YouTube. And you can do all things on Google. But I'm telling you, God created us and He knows us. And He's the one we ought to go to. There's women that go their whole life and they never have a child. God knows. There's women that don't have a child till later on in their life. Guess what? God knows. And Hannah didn't get bitter at God here. She was upset, and man, this other lady was mean to her about having kids and all those kind of things, and the Bible said that made her weep and cry, but she knew who to go to. Mothers, there'll be time in your life where your husband can't even comfort you. Amen? There's been times I've tried to comfort my wife, and I would do best just to keep my mouth shut. Amen, men? You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Like, you can't say anything right or do anything right. Amen. And guess who the only person that can comfort her? That's God. Amen. But if she's not relying on Him, if she's not talking to Him every day, she's not getting any comfort. Right. He's the God of all peace. Amen. He's the God of the peace that passeth all understanding. And I'm telling you this morning, Hannah made an exemplary mother because she prayed. And not only that, but if we read on a passage of Scripture here, I'm not going to do it for sake of time this morning, but she never stopped talking to God. Even after the child was born, she never stopped thanking God for him and never stopped talking to him. And so we ought to pray for our children. You ought to pray for them every day. You ought to pray with them every day. Every chance you get. It's funny because we'll have our nightly devotions. We do it every night, and we'll go around the room, we'll read the Bible and sing a song, and then we'll pray. And last night as we went through and everybody prayed, Emma looked up at Sarah and said, Mommy, will you pray too? Amen. You know what? Daddy prayed for her, but it wasn't good enough last night. She wanted Mommy to pray for her. Amen. Man, isn't there something sweet about that? Amen. Do your kids come to you and ever say, will you pray for me? Because they know that you do. Amen. Mamas, you got a special place. You got a special job. Not only the prayer we find here, but we find a promise that Hannah makes. Look in verse number 11 again, this prayer that she prays. She said, Lord, give me a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Hannah makes a promise to God that this child would be given to him. You know, we used to have baby dedications. People used to bring their children before the church, before God, and everybody said, I want to give this child to God. We did that with our oldest two. Amen. I know we've done it in our house with our youngest, but never in front of the church. We need to. Amen. Give it to the Lord. She made a promise here that this child that God gave her would be raised for His glory and for His honor. She committed her child to God before he was ever even born. Man, what a thing. Giving the child to God. She never had a child. She wanted a child. And she prayed to the Lord, if you give it to me, I'm going to give them right back to you. And that's exactly what she did. Mamas and daddies, sometimes they like the idea of giving their children to God, but they don't like the sacrifice it takes to do that. They don't like the commitment it takes to doing that. Because if you give your children to God, then you need to have them at church. Then you need to invest in their spiritual life. You need to invest in their future as a child of God. And the question this morning, in light of the message, is have you committed your children to God? And if you have, are you raising them that way? One thing that made Hannah an example to all mothers was the promise that she made. Not only that, but we see the preparation that was done. In verse number 11, we read there that she prepared her son for the service of God. She said, "Lord, I will give him to you." And look at verse number 22. Look at verse number 22 of the same chapter. The Bible said, "But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." Now they were going up to worship again, and the time came for them to do that again. And Hannah said, he's not ready yet for him to serve the Lord. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to prepare him to go serve the Lord. She prepared. His life from the day that he was born was in preparation to serve God. Man, there's people today that raise their kids and they prepare for everything but that. I mean, there's people that from the day that they're born, they got a ball in their hand. And I'm not against playing ball. I'm not. Man, I enjoy doing it. But from the day they're born, that's what they're raised to do, and they'll skip church to do it. I'm telling you, there's people that are society today, they don't care nothing about church. They got ball practice on Sundays. They got ball practice Wednesday nights. And there's people that raise their kids, and they're preparing them for failure when they're not preparing them to serve God. They're showing them that all this stuff is more important than serving God. And Hannah, one reason she was such an example is from the moment he was born, she began to prepare him for the one thing she promised God that she would do. And that was for her son to serve the Lord. And I wonder if that's how we're raising. I'm not talking about just on Sundays. What about on Monday mornings? What about on Tuesdays? If we want them to love God, are we reading the Bible to them? Amen. If you want to fall in love with God, fall in love with that book. If you want your kids, we say, Lord, and my prayer for all the kids in the church is, Lord, that you'd save them at a young age and they would fall in love with you. Not just be good church kids, but they would fall in love with God. But the only way they're going to do that is if you prepare them. Moms, you got to get up every day and you got to, man, at least one time throughout the day, get that Bible out and read it. Show them that you love the Bible and teach them to fall in love with that book. Amen. Prepare them for doing something for God. Man, there's parents that every day prepare their kids for all kind of things. And you do need to prepare for going out in the world. But I'll tell you what, when they go out in the world, if they don't got God, they don't have anything. And they're going to fall apart. And you don't need to just teach them the doctrines of this book. You need to teach them the God of this book. Amen. Amen. And she prepared her son for the service of the Lord. What are you preparing your children for? I got an illustration that I'm living through right now, and I've got to live this out every day. My wife and I both. We gave Ella and Elijah to the Lord, and Ella said that she feels like God's calling her to be a missionary for sign language. And Elijah this past week said that Lord was calling him to preach. That's what God's called. And guess what? They belong to him. But guess what I need to do as a parent? If that's what God called him to do, then I need to help him prepare for that. Amen. Say, what did you tell him? I told him to get up every day and read his Bible and do his schoolwork. That's preparing him to preach? Yeah, that's what he needs to do right now. He needs to obey his mother and father. He needs to honor his mother and father. He needs to read his Bible every day. And God will develop. But we need to prepare him. Ella, every time I get something in the mail from Silent Word Ministry, sign language, I give it to her. She said God called her to do sign language. Amen. And so I'm trying to help them prepare. Trying to help them get ready. And if you give your children to the Lord, you need to be prepared for God to use them in whatever way he sees fit. And you do your best to help prepare them for that day. Man, I've seen many a parents, they say they give their children to the Lord, but then they decide they want their children to have a career in the world. And I'm telling you, it makes a mess out of things. It makes a total mess. And I know we have to work and have careers and all those things, and I'm an electrician by trade, but I tell you what, I'm thankful my parents raised me to fall in love with this Bible. Amen. We must prepare our children for serving the Lord. Not only that, but we see that she practiced what she preached. Amen. She practiced what she preached. Look at me in verse number 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto thee. She went back to the spot where she gave her child to God before he was born. Unto the Lord. Verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. You know what? Another thing that made Hannah a great mother, she practiced what she preached. She didn't say one thing and then do another. That is one of the greatest dangers to a home today, is a double standard. It causes mass confusion in the home. Whenever you go to church and you hear the preaching of God's Word and you hear the Sunday school lessons on how a child of God ought to behave themselves and things you ought to do if you're a Christian, and then you turn right around and go home and do something totally different, you're going to cause confusion in the children. It causes problems. And I don't know if I've ever seen a double standard home that made it. You say, what do you mean? I mean, the parents might still be in church, but they lost their kids. It's sad. You'll never make it. Hannah practiced what she preached. If she got up and taught a Sunday school class, if she got up and she's in church and she heard the preaching, she followed God's word, she obeyed God's word because she wanted her kids to make it. Amen? There's a quote by Brother Alan Jones. Brother Stephen and I asked him this morning because I couldn't really remember it. I thought I had it right, and I had most of it. But Brother Alan Jones says, the life you live is the life you teach. It's not, don't do what I do, but do what I say. They're going to watch the way that you live. They're going to watch the way you talk to your husband. Amen. It goes the other way too, but we're preaching to mothers this morning. They're going to watch the way you talk to your husband. They're going to watch the way you talk to them. They're going to watch the way that you respond to your mother. They're going to watch the way that you handle different things. If you're at a grocery store or a situation comes up, they are watching every single move you make.
That's right.
And then later on, a mother's heart gets broke because of decisions kids make, but they saw a double standard in the home. They said you need to love God and go to church and serve God. And this is our book. This is our Bible. This is the code of conduct by which we live. We tell them that on Sunday, but we do something every other day of the week. That's a double standard. Amen. Hannah was an example to her children and an example to her family because she practiced what she preached. And we need some homes that'll do that. I've said it before, if you're comfortable wearing it on Monday or Tuesday, are you comfortable wearing it on Sunday? If you're comfortable listening to it throughout the week, are you comfortable listening to it in church? Amen. It's quiet.
Amen.
There's been times in my life as a young teenager or older teenager before I got married that I might listen to some music that I shouldn't be listening to. But if I ever walked into a church and they were playing that music, I'd walk out and say, I can't believe they're compromising. Man, I can't believe that church would do that. And get in my truck and turn it on. How dare the church do that? How dare they be dressed that way coming out of church? Amen? And the kids here preaching on it, and they ought to. We ought to follow God's word. We ought to try to please the Lord. But then as soon as we get in our vehicle and get in our house, they see something different. They might not say anything. You know what? They're little sinners like you are. And their flesh is going to enjoy it just like your flesh does. But thank God, somewhere down the line, you had enough put in you where you're staying with the right stuff.
Amen.
And you're still going to church. I mean, thank God for that, right?
Yeah.
But we don't want to lose another generation of kids. I know people right now today, good men and women that raised their kids, but they had a double standard in their home and they lost their children. And they're heartbroken over it. Amen? You say, well, I didn't have a double standard and I lost some of mine. Hey, when they get old enough, they're going to make a decision. But don't be the one to make the decision for them because of a double standard in the home. She practiced what she preached. Not only that, but we find the presentation. Hannah presented her child that she promised God she would do. She presented him to God. And you know, parents, every time you make a decision to get up and bring your kids to church, every time you make a decision to have family devotions, every time you make a decision to pray for them, you're taking your family and presenting them to the Lord every time you do that.
Amen.
And I'm not going to, I have a lot of verses on this, but for sake of time, we're not going to go over them all. But I'm telling you, Hannah presented her child to the Lord every chance she got.
Amen.
I mean, over and over again, she would present him to the Lord. That's the child she prayed for. That's the child she was thankful for. Not only that, that was number five. Number six, we see that Hannah had some persistence. She stayed faithful. Look with me there. It's real quiet here this morning. I don't know if you're hot or tired or convicted or what. All right. Chapter 2, verse number 18. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. So she gave Samuel to the Lord. And you know what? That's hard for a mother to do that. She prayed for a child. She asked God for a child. God gave it to her. She raised that child. I don't know how old he was, 5, 6 years old, something like that. And she took that child and gave him to God to serve, and she walked away. But you know what she did? She came back year after year, and she supported her child serving God. Man, what a blessing. That he knew that year after year, his mama was showing up with another coat. Amen? Can your kids count on you to stay faithful to God? Can they count on you to stay faithful to God and stay faithful to church and faithful to this book? Can they count on you to do that? Samuel could count on Hannah. No matter what happened, he knew that she was going to be there for him. Look there in verse number 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child. Hey, a child can serve God. Isn't that good to know? Kids that are in here, you can serve God.
Amen.
Amen? You can serve God. I tell you what, every time you guys get up here, Alan, you listening to me, buddy? Every time you get up here holding that Bible, you minister to me.
Amen.
Isn't that an encouragement to see them kids up here holding that Bible?
Amen.
Amen? It's an encouragement every time Brother Bowen gets up and leads singing. But he's not fired, by the way. He lost his voice. We didn't fire him from leading singing. Brother Jeff filled in. Appreciate him doing that today. But every time we do something, we're serving God. So kids, when you get up here and hold the Bible, you're blessing the Lord and you're ministering to us.
Amen.
And the times that you don't get up here, it's sad. Amen? You get up here and serve God with joy. And parents, the reason I have you hold the Bible up and I have you sing the B-I-B-L-E along with the kids after them is so you can show them that you love this book and you're ready for preaching and they can get excited because they're watching you.
Amen.
Man, I tell you, she was faithful. She had persistence. She never went back on her promise to God. Never went back one time. And I tell you what, her day started off rough. I thank God that I don't know what it's like to be a woman. Amen, men? Can I get an amen from some of y'all? Thank you. I'm very thankful for that. But I can't imagine the emotions. And I mean, I watched my wife go through something here recently. Man, it tore my heart out. And I couldn't imagine what she was going through. I could try to see, but I couldn't imagine what she went through. And Hannah didn't have any children. And this other woman, I guess that's who the adversary was making fun of her and laughing, and other ladies, I'm sure, were, and just causing all kind of problems. I can't imagine the emotion she was going through. But man, she stayed faithful to God.
Amen.
Her name means grace. God's grace was sufficient. She stayed persistent. She stayed faithful. You know something that Hannah did in her faithfulness and her persistence? She helped her child serve God. She didn't hinder him.
Amen.
Amen. If your kids come up to you and they want to do something to serve the Lord, you need to help them do that. Don't hinder them. Amen. Amen. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling stone in their life. If they want to do something for God, you ought to encourage them to do that. You ought to encourage them that they could pray and talk to God and show them that God has been faithful. I got this little note jotted down here. Do the gifts that you give your children, do they help them in the service to God, or do they help draw them closer to the world? There's sometimes that we give our children things that are nothing but a distraction, and they're drawing them towards the world instead of trying to serve God. Amen. Look at the gift that Hannah gave her son. It was a coat, a jacket, that he could keep serving God with. He was another year. And man, I tell you what, during this age, he was growing probably a foot a year or more. Elijah just got brand new pants. And I said, son, are you expecting a flood? And Sarah said, I just bought those. Kids grow. And you know what she did? She didn't give him a gadget. I like gadgets. I'm a nerd. She didn't give him a gadget. She didn't give him a toy. She gave him something that he can keep serving God with. And parents, we really need to think this thing through when we give our kids stuff. I know I preach it at Christmas, man. We're doing our kids a disservice when we just shower tons and tons of gifts and presents on them. Amen? We're not teaching them to be thankful. We're not teaching them. There's a lot of things we're not teaching them right. But she was faithful, and she gave him what he needed to keep serving God. And we ought to think that through when their birthday comes around and Christmas comes around and those things. We ought to really think, is this gonna hinder them with their walk with God? That's not always easy to think through, especially when everybody else in the world is doing it. And whatever latest fad or latest fashion. But I'm telling you, there's some people that are hindering their kids from serving God. I know this isn't easy, but happy Mother's Day. Hannah was a great example. This wasn't easy. You think what Hannah did was easy? But look at the prevailing. You know, everything that she did led up to this verse right here. Y'all still with me? I'm finishing right now. 1 Samuel chapter 2, look at verse number 26. Mamas, this is what you want to be read of your children. Look at verse number 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Mamas, you want that read about your children? You're raising a boy for God? Hey, why don't you raise him for God, and maybe the Lord doesn't call him into full-time ministry, but maybe he gets a job somewhere and God blesses him at that job, and now he's in favor with man and with the Lord. Amen. I mean, he gets promotions at work and God blesses him and gives him jobs and does things and just blesses him over and over and over again because he's got favor with man and favor with the Lord. Amen. That verse would have been a whole lot different if it just would have said he had favor with men. Right. Amen. This is the verse. This is how you want this thing to end with your children. Amen. Amen. You said, does it always turn out that way? No, because they got a free will. But you don't want to be... Hannah did everything she could to prepare him for this day. And thank God. We have other illustrations in the Bible of good mothers. The sons didn't turn out so well. Amen. We have illustrations in the Bible where you don't even see the mother in the picture. We have illustrations where they did turn out well. There's all kind of different scenarios. But the thing is, you can stand before God and say, Lord, I did the best I could to raise them for you. I didn't have a double standard. I didn't confuse my children by the way I lived versus what I told them. And I tried to please and give them to you. Amen. And the Lord can say, well done, thou good and faithful mother. Amen. And one day they can grow up and they'll actually be beneficial to society and not a Democrat. And they'll have favor with the Lord. All these people protesting, I'm sure their moms are proud as can be. You know what? They have broken hearts. Some of these people are being hauled off to jail and all these things, I'm sure their moms' hearts are broken. It's a godless society. Man, what a gift you have. If you're sitting here this morning, what a gift you have, an opportunity you have that some other people don't have. Man, what a privilege you have to be able to have this book and to know a God that'll help you do what I'm... Hey, you don't have to do any of this on your own. Hey, man, I keep referring back, Brother Stephen. I had a good conversation last night. He didn't tell me what to preach. But I was just talking to him about God's holiness and how good He is. And we were talking about how sinful we were. But God helps us. You don't have to do this on your own. You don't got to raise your children on your own. Thank the Lord for it. Amen? You don't got to do that on your own. God will help you and He'll be your strength. Amen. All right, let's all stand. I'm going to go ahead. We're not going to give an invitation this morning. My wife's not here to play. But listen, if God spoke to your heart throughout this message, maybe there's something in your home, in your life, you say, I see the example of Hannah. God, would you help me to be this mother? And husband, support your wife to be that mother that she needs to be. I know we're preaching on the home on Wednesday nights, so we'll be back on it this week. But man, I thank God for mothers. They're not birthing people. That's a mother that God designed her to be a mother. And thank God for the mothers. All right, I'm going to ask my dad if he dismisses in a word of prayer. Let me give this last verse I have here. That chapter 2, verse 26, he had favor with God and with man. You know what 2 John 3:4 says? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. Isn't that a joy to see your children serving God if they're serving God? Amen. And if they're not, Mama, don't stop praying for them. I haven't been a good example. Mama, start being a good example. If you want your boy to get in church, if you want his life to be straightened out, if you want your daughter to get right with God, if you want to see him get saved, then get in church and get faithful and be the example. And God just might save them. God just might put their home back together. Amen? But they need to see you being faithful. Don't just tell them you need to go to church. You show them by example. Amen? All right, thank you, Dad.